महापापते वासुदेवाया नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयामुदीरयेत्। Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, chapter 23, text 39, in the matter of Devahuti's lamentation. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. In that Ayodhya mansion, he travelled to the pleasure valleys of Mount Meru, which were rendered all the more beautiful by cool, gentle, fragrant breezes that stimulated passion. In these valleys, the treasure of the gods, Kuvera, surrounded by beautiful women and praised by the sitters, generally enjoys pleasure. Kadama Muni also, surrounded by the beautiful damsels and his wife, went there and enjoyed for many, many years. Purport. Kuvera was one of the eight demigods, who are in charge of different directions of the universe. It is said that Indra is in charge of the eastern side of the universe, where the heavenly planet or paradise is situated. Similarly, Agni is in charge of the southeastern portion of the universe. Yama, the demigod of punishment, the demigod who punishes sinners, is in charge of the southern portion. Niriti is in charge of the southwestern part of the universe. Varuna, the demigod in charge of the waters, is in charge of the western portion. Vayu, who controls the air and who has wings to travel in the air, is in charge of the northwestern part of the universe. And Kuvera, the treasurer of the demigods, is in charge of the northern part of the universe. All these demigods take pleasure in the valleys of Mount Meru, which is situated somewhere between the sun and the earth. In the aerial mansion, Kadama Muni travelled throughout the eight directions, controlled by different demigods described above. And as the demigods go to Mount Meru, he also went there to enjoy life. And one is surrounded by young, beautiful girls, sex stimulation naturally becomes prominent. Kadama Muni was sexually stimulated, and he enjoyed his wife for many, many years in that part of Mount Meru. But his sex indulgence was praised by many, 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 many sitters, beings who have attained perfection, because it was intended to produce good progeny for the good of the universal affairs. Translation, that aerial mansion he travelled to the pleasure valleys of Mount Meru, which were rendered all the more beautiful by cool, gentle, fragrant breezes that stimulated passion. In these valleys, the treasure of the gods, Kuvera, surrounded by beautiful women and praised by the sitters, generally enjoys pleasure. Kadama Muni also, surrounded by the beautiful damsels and his wife, went there and enjoyed for many, many years. So, Kadama Muni is traveling through the most exotic gardens where the topmost personalities of the universe get to go and enjoy. And of course his enjoyment wandering through these places is very similar to one who is very attached to his senses. First, we have to understand that entrance to these places in these higher realms is only available for the very pious. And secondly, you must understand that Kadama Muni and Devahuti both have completely pure hearts. Love of Godhead is situated in their heart. Fourthly, Devahuti, who is the eternal mother of Godhead, Kuladev, and also the expansion of Srimati Devaki, is equal to the abode of the Lord, because she holds the form of the Lord within her body. Then she is equal to the abode of the Lord. And Kadama Muni also, because the Lord comes through, manifests through, then he is considered to be as good as the abode of the Lord. So these are not two ordinary personalities wandering here and there just enjoying for their senses. But there are two personalities who have descended into this world with a specific mission to allow, to facilitate the appearance of the personality of Godhead, Kapila Muni. Facilitate his advent, which ultimately brings about the benefit of all living entities. Kapila Muni specifically came to teach transcendental knowledge, and as we'll see in the coming slokas, the first person he teaches is his own mother, Devahuti. So yes, it is very, very easy to misunderstand the activities of great personalities, because we only have reference to our activities and the activities of conditioned souls. So the conditioned souls are eating and sleeping, mating, defending, looking for enjoyment, especially through sex indulgence. And the tendency is there that when we see a great personality performing the same activities, then the tendency is there to criticize. But that is a extremely dangerous tendency to see with the eye of ignorance the Vaishnavas, the devotees of the Lord, and to just assume that their consciousness, when they perform these activities, is the same as all of the conditioned souls. In the spiritual world also, enjoyment is going on, they're getting together and having big feasts, they're dancing, merrymaking in various ways, water sports, but it's for the pleasure and satisfaction of the Lord. It's not for the satisfaction of their own personal senses. And this is a concept which is alien to the conditioned soul. When we try to enjoy, we become absorbed and lost in it. When we try not to enjoy and try to practice renunciation, we become absorbed and lost in it. The heart becomes very hard. So we have to renounce. In the real sense of a word, we have to renounce our false identification. We have to renounce our false shelter. We're taking shelter of this mind and senses, this body, and the perceptions which we develop through them. We're taking shelter of that. But we have to somehow have a little faith in the words of the Mahabhagavats. But none of this temporary nature is real. It has no lasting substance. We're not actually connected to it. And thus we cannot find happiness by imitating the activities of the Lord and His devotees. Of course, if we want to try and find happiness, then we have no choice but to imitate the Lord. Because we don't have anything of our own. But by that imitating, we become even bigger and bigger offenders. By trying to usurp the property of the Lord, trying to enjoy it ourselves, then we become bigger and bigger offenders. And whether we're doing it part-time or full-time, ultimately it doesn't make that much difference. And when you're thinking, no, I'm chanting 16 rounds a day, I'm attending a program, I'm associating with the Vaishnavas, and so what if some of the time I'm enjoying a little bit of sense gratification? And that is usurping the position of the Lord. Not a very good position for the devotees, but still, if one can understand one's fallen position, instead of just making excuses for oneself, and thinking, no, it's all right, you can't do everything in one day. And thus, increasing the ignorance, and what starts off as the occasional little bit of sense gratification slowly becomes more and more. And the devotional activities start to reduce. This doesn't just happen for the neophytes just beginning devotional service. Even great Mahabharatas have had difficulty due to becoming lax. Bharat Maharaj, just because he became attached to a deer, he became absorbed in that. An apparently innocent activity, an apparent showing of compassion. But he was compelled, due to that attachment, to have to take birth as a deer, which no doubt was not a very comfortable birth, especially for somebody who had tasted such a high state of liberation. So we should not think that, oh, it's innocent. We're actually putting our very spiritual life on the line. And yes, of course, it's not easy to give up the long years, the long lifetimes of trying to be the enjoyer. Somehow we must develop this faith. That yes, actually you have nothing to do with this. You're actually the eternal servant of Krishna, and in that position you'll taste the greatest pleasure. You'll be fully satisfied. Not only fully satisfied, but that satisfaction will grow and grow and grow in the association of the Lord and His devotees. It will not become stagnant, but it will ever expand. Here in this world, we experience again and again miseries, everything falling to pieces, including this very body. And yet, somehow we develop faith in this world. Somehow we have some kind of feeling, some kind of shelter here. And we don't want to let go. We don't want to take the steps towards Godhead, because we do not have sufficient faith. Without faith, surrender cannot come about. If there is not surrender, then love of Godhead will not manifest. So the woman was very anxious to rush ahead into deep understanding of spiritual life. But if we do not develop the early stages of faith, complete and absolute faith in the words of the Acharyas, then we will never be able to go forward in factuality. Into the eternal kingdom of service of Godhead. Because the real surrender will never take place. And if we have any doubt about this, then each one of us has to look into our own consciousness at how much we're still attracted to enjoying our senses in this material world. And we have to ask ourselves, the why after practicing Krishna consciousness? For who knows how many lifetimes we still have this great attachment. It is due to lack of faith in the words of the Acharyas. The Acharyas have come to destroy the darkness which surrounds the soul. Open up the eye with the torchlight of knowledge. The real aspect of that knowledge is bhakti. Bhakti gyan. If we want to keep on running back to the shelter of what we know, which has only caused us distress in the past, then that is foolishness. It doesn't show great intelligence. It doesn't show one being situated on a transcendental platform. To not have complete faith in the words of a Shastra, in the words of a spiritual master, is an offense against the Holy Name, an offense against the Lord. If offenses are there, then progress cannot be there. Simple. When offenses are there, it starts to eclipse bhakti. Of course, bhakti itself cannot be touched, but the heart slowly becomes dark again. Ignorance overtakes. In such a situation, we can fall down into any activity. Only by offenses. So we must have faith that when we hear about the activities of Kadama Muni and Devahuti, that they're not simply enjoying their senses, but they're actually satisfying to look. This will be proven in the coming sokas. The great saintly persons, siddhas, are glorifying the activities of Kadama Muni and Devahuti. Why would great personalities be glorifying their activities if they were not wonderfully transcendental activities? These gardens, which are being described here as situated in the material realm, allowing certain persons to enjoy their senses, and in due course of time work off their good karma, after which time they will fall back down into the earthly realm, where they'll be able to develop another field of karma and then go up or down. But this is not the case for Kadama Muni, because the great difference between him and Devahuti and his other persons is that he understands that this is the property of the Lord. He understands, for the Lord's sake, I will enjoy him, because he has a mission to facilitate the appearance of the Lord. Now we can be envious of that and think that we can also enjoy one another. Look, here's a great devotee, spending so much time in sex life. We can follow you could hear Shiva and Parvati. We can follow in their footsteps and enjoy it. Yes! If we can also become the father of the personality of Godhead. If we can also drink a huge ocean of poison. If we can show that we're actually great personalities who are sincerely surrendered servitors of the Lord. Otherwise, we follow the early stages of devotional service. As Kadama Muni exhibited, he went through great austerities. He didn't need to go through great austerities, because already love of Godhead was situated in his heart. But to set the example. The austerity for this Yuga is very simple. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Congregation in Japa. Glorification of the name and pastimes of the Lord. Nam Sankirtan. We practice it with faith in the instructions of the acharyas and the instructions of the shastras. Then we will make rapid advances. We will actually surrender. And all of the symptoms of the great devotees will manifest as we let go of the material covering. No one else can say for sure whether we are going forward, because everyone else will witness the activities of the body. But we can understand whether we're actually tasting deeper and deeper enlightenment, whether we're becoming free from the modes of ignorance and passion, whether we're becoming free from wanting to imitate the Lord and his devotees. So, while we're reading these slokas, we should be able to appreciate more and more the elevated position of Devahuti and Kadama. That passing through these splendorous places, which bewildered the minds of great demigods, they're still detached. They're still fully fixed in understanding and I'm the eternal servant of the Lord. Simply fulfilling his mission. And it's very easy to misunderstand the activities of the great Vaishnavas. When Garudar Pandit went with Mukunda to visit Pundarik Vidyanidhi, he couldn't understand why he brought me to this person who's living here in all this opulence, dressed in silk and wearing jewels, being fanned by so many servants, living in such an opulent situation. Why have you brought me here? You told me you were going to show me a great devotee. And then he understood, when he saw the praise, the love of Godhead, which Pundarik Vidyanidhi possessed. So we should not judge the Vaishnavas, the devotees, by their external activities. But we should understand the consciousness, their attachment to hearing and chanting, what they use their time for. One of the associates of Lord Chaitanya, whose name doesn't come to mind, he used to like to go and enjoy gambling, throwing the dice. But all those persons whom he associated with, they all became great devotees. What can we say? But each one knows individually whether we're absorbed in the material nature or absorbed in the spiritual nature. You can fool some of the people some of the time, but you can't fool all of the people all of the time. We have this unique opportunity to be able to come in contact with the intimate activities of the devotees of the Lord through the Srimad Bhagavatam. What access do the conditioned souls of Kali Yuga have to such things? But Srimad Bhagavatam is far open the gates. That here you are, step into the transcendental kingdom of devotional service. Read the Bhagavatam, worship the deity, circumambulate the Tulsi Devi, associate with the Vaishnavas, chant the holy name. Back to Godhead. As long as one does that. But when the tendency comes up again that we want to imitate the activities of the Lord and His intimate devotees, we want to be the enjoyers. And then we will start to descend back into the material world again. No doubt that whatever bhakti activities we manage to perform will stay with us, and we will get the opportunity again before too long. That too long is measured in terms of eternity. One lifetime, 10 lifetimes, 100 lifetimes. This is nothing in comparison with one breath of Mahavishnu. Right side of that verse. And Prabhupada requested all of us But take the spiritual apparatus and go back home to God. Out of His great compassion came His Vishnuptas, devotional service. So why are you suffering so much? Please take this chant of meditation. Glory. Prabhupada was lecturing in London just after the opening of the Bhakti Dandamana. And then he asked the question, who are the greatest mudras, the greatest gurus and rascals? And as everyone sat silently, he gave the answer, but you are, because I'm telling you again and again, simply follow this process, take the devotional service, give up your faith in the material nature, and yet you don't. The understanding that one becomes so humble, so tolerant, devoid of all sense of false prestige. This is the devotion, what it is. That we understand that yes, I'm still a great fool. Even after getting the opportunity of devotional service, I still have great attachment to the material nature. I still have great attachment to this body, mind and senses. I have to learn how to enter deeper and deeper into these activities of devotional service and how to become more and more compassionate in our desire not only to advance in devotional life, but to distribute this opportunity of practicing devotional service, of obtaining love of Godhead. We have to understand that we're blind. Each and every person in the world has been rendered blind. The Lord is so kind, he puts a sun in the universe. Lights up everything so we can see. Otherwise we can't see a thing. So how do we expect to see the Shastra? How do we expect to see the devotees for what they really are? Unless we surrender, unless we develop great faith in their words, that the real meaning may be revealed. Just as we're in the darkness of the night, the sun starts rising, we're able to see it. We should never think, oh yes, I understand, I understand. I know, I know. Are there any questions or comments? Yes.
You're saying, and we hear so many places, this faith, this deep, intensified faith or whatever, have to develop, you know, outside of, you know, the basic principles that we're understanding of Krishna consciousness, you know, Shiva Prabhupada has given us, you know, morning program, course of principle 16 rounds, etc. Can you be a little bit more specific in how to do that, or, you know, how to drill deeper that intensify our faith in reality instead of illusion? Does that make sense?
Well, this is two steps. One is we have to find the association of persons who have developed faith. And the other is that we have to develop our faith from the faith. Yes, you're told if you eat this food you get strong. You eat it, you get strong, so then you have faith in it. Oh yeah, I'll take more. So by practicing the process that actually we develop our faith stronger and stronger. And if it's not, then we're doing it mechanically. We're simply practicing the process of devotional service mechanically. Then what result can we expect? If you want to see the world as impossible, it'll be impossible. Want to see this fierce one? He'll be fierce, he'll come in the form of time. Mechanically practicing devotional service cannot bring about pure love of Godhead. But what it will bring is dryness. And then you'll want to give it up. You'll want to carry on chewing some paper or something. No taste. The process works for everyone. Some people make rapid advancement and some don't. So what is that? Because some people do it with great enthusiasm. They actually want to please them. Some just say, oh, I've chanted a few rounds, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. What's the prasad today, Krishna, Krishna? Even though they hear, the intent is not to be attentive to the holy name. And the process of chanting the holy name is to listen. But instead, we want to listen to our mind. Then we want to wander around from one devotee to the other. Oh, Maharaj, please tell me how to control my mind. Maharaj doesn't know how to control your mind. Nobody knows how to control your mind. But the advice is there, Mahamantra. Now sit down and listen to it. Mind will be controlled. Otherwise, who can control the mind? Catching the wind. You just sit down, listen to the holy name, take association with Vaishnavas, join in the kirtan, take the Mahaprasada. Yes, yes, I'm doing that, but I'm still not. Then the real question is, why not? Does the process not work? Because if we're not tasting the effects, and we keep on eventually, we're just not. That's natural. And we'll give up the wishlessness. There's not some other instructions. Instruction is very simple. You go to 100 different persons and they try to, the world of intelligence to explain to you, yes, yes, do this, do that, all that. We still cannot do it. There has to be some desire that yes, I want to attain the Godhead, but I am actually sick of this material world. The doctor runs all day trying to get the carrots. Why? because he knows there's a nice safety card on the end of a stick. But if we just want to sit back, Hare Krishna, yeah, it's going to work automatically. You'll get so much benefit from chanting the holy name in any state by practicing the various principles of devotional service in any state. But if you want to obtain love of Godhead, that's a personal activity. The living entity is a person. Personality of Godhead is a person. And all of the devotees are persons. So if you actually want to enter into a mood of loving devotion, you have to become a person. Because even the trees and the cows and the grass are personal in the Swedish heart. This is the last day of winter. Tomorrow is the Santa Panchami. And so, when Krishna and Radhika and their associates, they wander through the different forests, different seasons. When they meet one forest, that forest immediately becomes so sad that all the grass starts growing over the pathways, all the flowers start closing up. Because they're persons. But oh, the Lord has gone on to another forest now. Who will be satisfied? So they enter into a deep state of lamentation, separation. Devotional service cannot be practiced for very long clockwork. Are there any other questions or comments? Shiva Bhagavatam ki, Shiva Prabhupada.